Daddy's Footsteps. This is our theme for this year. As you're aware, the signage here, in his footsteps, to walk in Jesus' footsteps, to be in a place where we're learning how it is to walk in his footsteps, to live in such a way that he's teaching us how to live, and then in another way to lead others on that pathway. And so as we, every week, we're looking at what that means for us personally and how to live that out and then to share that with others in some way. Today is a challenge because today is about humility and availability. Humility and availability. Who likes to be humble? Who's the greatest at being humble? Who likes to make themselves available? You know, some of us are a language of works and service. We like to make ourselves available. Who finds that they just don't have time? They like the idea of being available, but they just don't have time. I'll get around to it, or I'll help when I have some spare time. Yeah? Too busy to think about it, right? Humility and availability. Humility and availability. Being in that place where you just stop. Realize that life is not about you. And find that place where you can come alongside others. Or just to stop and listen. Do you know God speaks today? Do you believe that God speaks today? Do you make yourself available for God to speak to you? That's the bigger question, isn't it? We're going to talk about this fellow again. Remember the last couple of weeks we've had this fella, John the Baptizer, right? What did Jordan say? He was smelly and had flies and... You know, sorry, a bit crazy. People thought he was a bit on the edge, you know, who is this guy living down at the river, eating locusts and honey, wearing camel skins. Remember his father was a high priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Remember the prophecy that an angel came to visit his father about this man, and now we find him down at the River Jordan, baptizing people. So let's have a look what takes place. In Luke chapter 3, it says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene." Does that mean anything to anybody? Who's read this? Yeah, some of us who've studied, yeah, that helps, right? But sometimes we read this passage and just straight over the top of the head. You know what I'm talking about? What's this? First of all, the tetrarch, just so you know, is a quarter of, like a fourth of an area. So a tetrarch is looking after a quarter of a certain area. That helps a little bit. Because you go, what is a tetrarch? Like a governor or like a king of that province area. Okay, now it goes a little bit further. "And in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas," you've heard of those guys before if you looked at Jesus and the trial at the end, "the word of God came to John, the son of Zacchaeus in the wilderness." Zacharias in the wilderness, thank you. "And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." So what have we got? 15th year, reign of Tiberius, Caesar, right? Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod was tetrarch of Galilee. His brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis. And Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. "And in the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to" who? to John. Where was he? In the wilderness. And then he's got a message, repent. So what does this mean? Why, as we read this, what's inspiring about this? Well, let's have a look for a sec. The Roman Empire during Tiberius Caesar. Look at the Roman, but look at the Roman Empire. All of this. This is Israel down here, by the way, this tiny little place here. Top of Africa, all the way through Spain, going right up through Germany and France, Europe, all the way through, over Turkey, this whole. How huge is that? That's a massive empire. Did the word of the Lord come to the guy in charge of all of that? No. Then we go a little bit further. So we go to Judea. So this is Judea at this time. So this is getting back to this map. This is this tiny little area here, right? And so here is Judea. So this is coming through. Most of you recognize Jerusalem, but this area of Judea at this time. So then you have Palestine under the Tetrarchy. Tetrarchy, I mentioned those tetrarchs, right? So this is the area through all of here. So just so you know, this is the Dead Sea down here. This is the Sea of Galilee up here. And you've got Jerusalem in over here. So let's have a look. We've got Pontius Pilate. We've got Herod Antipas. We've got Philip. And we've got Lysanias. They're different roles and they're different areas. Someone said to me last week, I'm so glad you do maps. Give us an idea. I thought maps would be very helpful in this one, right? So Pontius Pilate was looking after this whole area. See, this is the Judea. Herod Antipas is looking after the top part, and that goes right up into Lebanon today, going through. Lysanias is up in the bottom part of Syria today, going through, and Lysanias is right up in that top little portion there. So this is who was in charge of this time. Did the word of the Lord come to any of those? No. And then we come to here, again, the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, and then we've got Jerusalem here, and it says that we have the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Now, this is a model of what the temple would have looked like. The high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas being in here, what was central about the temple? Where was God supposed to be? At the temple, right? So you came to worship, you came to sacrifice, you were expecting, if God was going to speak in any place, the idea or the belief, if God was going to speak, he was going to speak here in the temple. But it says in verse 2, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. I just want you to be encouraged by that at the moment, just that thinking. Why was God now speaking to John in the wilderness? Don't you think if God wanted to change the world in some way, don't you think it would have been better going to Caesar, to the emperor, and then the emperor could implement this whole new, you know, faith belief and put it through his empire? Wouldn't that be better? Like, I'm just talking logic here. Don't you think if you were going to sell a new ice cream, right? I don't know, make it some chocolate ice cream. And you go, John, I want you to go in the wilderness and sell as many ice creams as you can there. We're going to get a profit from that. Or I want you to go to the Caesar, and Caesar's now going to put it through his empire. Which would be, you know, the greater profit? Okay, God doesn't work that way. He's looking for who is seriously stopping and willing to listen and take time out. Some years back, I was in Kenya in a village place, and in the mud brick church building with a thatch roof, and I'm thinking, what sort of message can I bring to these guys? And I remember reading this, and they're all looking at me, we don't understand, and that's okay, because then I just pulled it together and said, look at all the major leaders, but that one man in the desert was listening to the word of God, and the word of God came to him. I said, you might be looking to the West, you might be looking to Australia, you might be looking to England to think that faith comes from us coming to you. I said, don't think that way. I said, the Lord will come to you wherever you are. Amen. I haven't got an Andrew here this morning. Amen. The Lord will come to you wherever you are if you're willing and available and being in that place of humility. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. This man heard the word of the Lord, and he came into all the district around the Jordan. And what was he saying? He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Remember, I told you last week, the temple had become completely corrupt. And now John's down at the river and he's saying it's time to repent, ask for forgiveness. Because people would go to the temple and they were supposed to sacrifice animals and other things, asking for forgiveness, because it become completely corrupt. And he was doing something new down at the river. So he's down at the river, he's preaching, he's saying, repent, believe, time to ask for forgiveness of your sin. Something new is happening. So how did it work? How did John get an authority to do this? Because this is something new. John's in many ways completely rebelling against the whole system that was in place for thousands of years of bringing animals and sacrifice and asking for forgiveness. He's now saying, repent, be baptized. In other words, go under the water, forgiveness of sins, die to self, come back up and you receive forgiveness. He's going completely against the order. So how did it come? What's happened? What's taken place? Well, let's read it in John 1, 29. This is John seeing Jesus coming. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water sent me. He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. What's happening? Sometimes we read over this and don't see what's actually taking place. It says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me. Who told him to baptize? We don't know, but it looks like God's spoken to him and said, this is what I want you to do. It says, the word of the Lord came to John in the desert. The word of the Lord, what was the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord, I believe, is you're starting a new thing here. You're doing something special. You're preparing the way for Jesus. Is that right? Preparing the way. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he who sent me to baptize in water. He's being sent to do this. He has been commissioned to do this. He's commissioned to set up a way to take away the understanding of the temple, because the temple had become corrupt, a new beginning and a new leading, preparing the way for Jesus to come. Something powerful is going to happen. Something powerful is going to happen coming through. Because we read this, the next day in John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and says this, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What's he meaning by this? Behold the Lamb of God. Don't you want to hear, behold the tiger or the lion or the anger of God, the wrath of God? Don't you want to hear this? The Lamb? That seems really weak, doesn't it? I really, really like this picture. Somebody did this. I don't know where it came from, but I really like this in the cloud, the lion and the lamb sort of picture here. Because you and I both know Jesus is both the lion and the lamb. He's the lion, he's powerful and mighty. But we also know he comes as the lamb. So what is John saying here? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was preparing that understanding that Jesus has come to be sacrificed. That's really hard to hear in many ways. But he came to be the final sacrifice, the promise through the Old Testament coming through, the prophecies that the Messiah, the Savior, was coming, show us how to live, but to take away the sins of the world, to be the final sacrifice. And John's already claiming this as coming up to Jesus hasn't even started his ministry yet. He's about to be baptized. He's about to move into his ministry. But John already knew, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of you and I. This is the one, this is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I. John, who had people coming from all Judea, all through Jordan, walk for a couple of days, coming to listen to this guy down at the river who's saying, repent, and he's baptizing people, people coming from everywhere, thinking he was a great prophet, thinking he was amazing. He's now saying, actually, there's one coming and he's ranked higher than I. John is humbling himself because he existed before me. How does that work? Isn't John the older one? Right? What did John know about Jesus? John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the prophet. John knew who Jesus was. For John to make this comment, he existed before me, must be that John knew that Jesus was God coming in the flesh. It's already here, right at the beginning. This place where he knew that Jesus was before. Even though he's born after him, he was before him. And then in 31, he says, I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, manifested, shown to Israel, this great Messiah. I came baptizing in water. And you guys think that's amazing, is really what I said. I came baptizing in water. But I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remained upon him. He's seeing that place, the Holy Spirit coming down and alighting, landing on Jesus and showing John who Jesus is. And he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in what? Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes in Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is what? That is, he who is Son of God. Amen. What are these comments right at the beginning of the book of John? The very first chapter, we're finding out that John is saying that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus was beforehand, that Jesus is going to baptize in the Spirit. So everything John was preparing the way for Jesus to be seen as the Messiah. To break down the understanding of all the temple sacrifice and the corruption that's been and the sacrificial animals and all that year, all those years of law and all that was just changing radically with one man down in the desert who's baptizing people at the River Jordan and seeing the manifold change that God was doing and bringing in. Jesus, the Messiah, coming in. Last week I didn't talk about the Essenes, but the Essenes were the group of people just down on the edge of the Dead Sea. For 120 years they saw the corruption of the temple and they were down there writing the word of God. And today we have the Qumran or the Dead Sea Scrolls written by the Essenes. The Essenes were down there and they were preparing a way for the Lord as well as keeping the scriptures all in one way. One place, and they all knew that the Messiah was going to come from the east. And guess what happened? Jesus is baptized to the east of the Essenes, and they would have seen his first bit of ministry coming through. God is faithful. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, come into the footsteps, come into this place. Come and learn. Come and learn what's taking place. Come and learn what life is about. Come and learn to follow. Come and learn and understand when God is doing a new thing. Come and learn that new thing that he's trying to show you and bring into place. Come and live it out. Come and live that new thing that he's doing in your heart, that he's transforming you and giving you insight into how incredible and how wonderful he is, that Jesus is both the lamb and the lion. And then come and lead others. Come and show them. Come and be in that place where as you walk in his footsteps, others will want to follow you in that place. Today is about humility and availability. John showed what it was like to be humbled, to leave that life of being a high priest, son and family, and he went and humbled himself and went down by the river. He made himself available and the word of the Lord came to him. And it was transformative. And it was leading a path to Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you a story which happened to me a couple of days ago. I want you to hear what's taking place in this story and finding that place. As I speak this story, it's a tough story in the journey. On Thursday afternoon last week, I'd driven from Canberra for about an hour and a bit on a country road. And as I was coming around the corner, there was a lady on her knees at the foot of a tree. And you could see the tree was covered in crosses and memorabilia. And you could see that there was pieces left over of a smashed car. And she's on her knees and she's crying. And I drove past and I saw her crying and I kept driving. And then I thought, do I need to stop? And then I had to process in my mind, would it be appropriate to stop and to minister in some way or to go there. And this is my struggle with availability or not. I'd finished my work on my way. and I had somewhere to go. And I just felt like God was just tapping me on the shoulder. Just go back and ask if she needs prayer. And this is the struggle in the mind. Many of you can relate to this. Do I go back? Would it be awkward? What do I say? How does it work? And I drove for another at least 15 minutes and God just kept tapping me on the shoulder. You know when there's a point where you go, okay, Lord, I think I need to listen now? All right. So I turned the car around and I drove back and she was still there at the foot of this tree. And I pulled up a little bit further and I thought, this can go well or really awkward for this. What do you say? What do you say when you come up? And so I got out of the car and I walked over. She was crying and she looked up at me. And I said, hi, I'm a church pastor, I'm a minister. I can see that this is pretty tough for you at the moment. Would you like me to pray with you? And she looked up to me and she says, hi, Ben. Helps with the number plate. It's got Ben written on it, but no. She said, hi, Ben, because she knew who I was. She'd been to this church once or twice before. She knows someone here very, very well. And I just thought, this is an incredible divine appointment. She said, it'd be really awkward if you were someone I didn't know. And I said, I totally understand that. So I was able to get down on my knees next to her. Sadly, about 2 or 3 weeks earlier, her brother had committed suicide and drove the car into the tree at full speed. This is a really difficult story to share, but I feel like I need to share this with this place of being available. I was able just to sit with her and just to pray with her and to sit in that place where it's really, really hard. Now, I don't have all the answers. I don't. But I was able to sit with her or actually kneel with her and just to pray. And for her, it was a divine appointment. And for me, I felt it was a divine appointment as well, because in her loneliness, she was praying and crying out. And how random it is that I'm driving. It's about an hour and a bit away, over an hour and a bit away from here on the country road, just coming around the corner. And I was able just to sit and pray with her and be in that place. Jesus asks us to humble ourselves, even though we may feel at times it's awkward to share something. But when we make ourselves available, both she was encouraged that I stopped and prayed with her, and I was encouraged that I was able to stop and pray with her as well. Because God had brought this divine moment together. Now, it's a difficult story, but God moves in different ways. He asks us to humble ourselves and be prepared.
No one wants to be in a wilderness. No one wants to run a race and collapse and end up in a coma. No one wants someone that they love dearly to lose their life. But sometimes God allows his people to end up in a wilderness. And he allows his people to be in a wilderness so that he can speak to them. He allows his people to be in a wilderness so that he may draw closer to their hearts. It's never for no reason. And we have the capacity to either be the one in the wilderness, waiting and listening and trusting in a supernatural God, or we can be the ones who are ministering to those who are in a wilderness. It's our choice. You heard Ollie's story. He's a testimony to how many people were praying for him. And you heard Ben's story. He had the capacity to stop and minister to someone. Whether you are in a wilderness and you are desperate for God to move, trust that he wants to. Trust that he wants to speak to you, even if your circumstances do not change. He can change your heart. He can change your spirit, just as we heard before from Alberto. God cares so deeply about our spirit. And if you're not in a wilderness, perhaps you're the one God is calling you to pray and minister and champion the cause of those who are doing it tough, so that you might see the testimony of someone else and you can see a party hat on the table, or you can hear a fresh testimony of how someone has God has moved in their life. We are all part of God's big story and no one is exempt. So we need to know where God is using us and how God is wanting to speak to us, whether we're in the wilderness or the ones encouraging those in the wilderness. God wants to use us and he's calling us to be available, each and every one.
This picture had caught my attention. Jesus came and washed the feet of the disciples. Jesus showed what it was like to humble himself. Even though all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, he came to serve and to do it humbly. He's asking you to have that place of humility, to have that place of availability, and he's calling you to walk in his footsteps. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there's moments in life that are really, really difficult. There's moments in life where an incredible celebration. There's moments in life where we might be in a desert, and there's moments in life when clarity comes along. Pray, Lord, this morning that whoever's listening, however they're receiving this message, clarity will come to an understanding that first of all, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that our hope is found in you, that the grace that you give is a free gift to each one of us, that what you give to us we cannot earn, it's given because you gave your life for us. So, Lord Jesus, even if we're in the wilderness, may we see that in that place of wilderness you can speak and help us to stop and to listen. You call us, you know us, you love us, you have a plan and purpose for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.